So yes, I'm going to talk about one aspect of development and collaboration agreements. And I think for IP transactional lawyers like me, joint development agreements and collaborations are some of the most fun and interesting kinds of deals that we get to do, in part because by definition it involves us finding out about new and emerging technologies. We'll know what's going to happen in the holiday toy season in 2018 before anybody knows, for example. They're also often very complicated deals, and we lawyers like to dive into complexity, at least some of the time. And it helps us, or gives us an opportunity to help clients kind of see around corners a little bit, think about what might happen in the future, really sort of advise on have they thought through all the implications of what they're proposing to do, which for me at least is one of the more rewarding aspects of practicing law, even more than reviewing detailed and complicated contracts. So here's an outline of what I'm going to try to cover today, and I'll pause along the way a couple times, time permitting, to see if anyone has questions, and certainly take questions at the end, and I'll hang around for a little bit afterwards as well if things come up that you want to ask more about. I'm going to set up a hypothetical to kind of frame the discussion first, and then we'll talk about some frameworks for allocating ownership of IP that's developed in the course of joint development and collaboration agreements. We'll talk about licenses, the kind of licenses that you see in these agreements, and some of the key parameters to think about for those. We'll talk about some of the perils and complexities of joint ownership of IP. And with respect to patents, some of the considerations for how to deal with the prosecution and maintenance of patents that might arise from a joint development agreement.